Think so? Yeah?
Good evening, everybody. How is everybody doing tonight? If you're glad you're above the ground, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So you guys, welcome to Eternal World Ministries. I want to thank you guys that are tuning in online. Go ahead and click share now. And you guys know what to do. First song, go around, shake a hand, hug a neck. If you see somebody new, everybody swarm them with the love of Jesus. I'm just joking.
This is a house where idols fall. This
is a house where dead men walk. This is a house where freedom comes. Can you hear it now? Hear it now.
As for me and my house, we will serve you. Yeah, we will serve you. As for me and my house, there's no turning back now. We will serve you.
Not for riches, but look to the cross. good to us, church. In spite of us, he is good to us. Amen. Y'all give the Lord a hand clap this evening. And I want to make a couple announcements real quick. Let's see if we can go ahead and put the announcements up there. Bible study, Monday through Wednesday night, 6:30, 7:30 p.m., 6:30 to 7. Monday night is Sean. Tuesday night is Darren. Wednesday night, check on Wednesday nights. We don't always have somebody here doing Bible study on Wednesday nights. Tuesday night is morning prayer and Bible study. That's every morning, 8:30 to 9:30. Sometimes we do end up getting into the Word. Sometimes during our morning prayer time, sometimes we pray, then sometimes we end up getting into the Word, and it turns into an hour and a half Bible study. Sometimes it's prayer and Bible study, but it's always always good. Amen. Let's see, women's prayer. Miss Sharon leads that up Tuesday nights at 6:30. Ladies, come on up. Food pantry is this Thursday, this coming Thursday. Is that right? Yep, 1 week from today, food pantry is going on. So we need all volunteers, all helping hands on deck. As we said, we usually feed between about 400 and 600 people. So your help is appreciated, church. So thank you. Polunsky unit was this past weekend. I know Clayton and Darren was down there on. I didn't even check, see, talk with you today, see how that went. So I'll get a report and we'll share it on Sunday. Okay. All right, praise God. I know if Clayton and them were down there, though, I know they heard about Jesus. Amen. It's good to know when you send people out, you ain't got to worry about the message they preach. Amen. Then the 26th will be the WIN unit, which is on a Saturday. That's what we was talking about. Is that right, Clayton? So we got that coming up, the WIN unit. Men's breakfast, come and have fellowship. That is the second Saturday in April, second Saturday of the month. Cook time at 6 a.m., meal time at 8 a.m. So go ahead and throw the next one up. And then, let's see, we need media volunteers. So guys that are in the home, men that are in the men's home, we need y'all to volunteer, but we need media volunteers. Media volunteers, hold your hands up there, Chris. We need people on the what's that deal in front of you called, the camera? We need people on the cameras. Well, we need people up there on the what's the other deal called, Josh? Just computers. We need people over on Facebook, and we need people over on another camera that we have. So we need media volunteers. We need people that, you know why? Because it's always the same guys in the booth, and they need to be down here and be able to enjoy service also, amen, without having to be in the booth all the time. So we're definitely going to need media volunteers. And then y'all know about our men's home. This was them out doing some work at a ranch down in Mineral Wells with their hazmat suits on and everything. And we know that if they can make it through the hazardous materials and the hazardous situations that we put them in, and if they can make it and live through that, then they should be able to overcome about any other obstacle in life. Amen? So if they can overcome all that stuff, that's how we train them up around here. Amen? And then the women's home, we also, y'all know that the women's home over here, it is under construction. So youth, let me say this to y'all. It may be kind of weird for the next couple of weeks. Upstairs where youth normally is, we got that place stacked up full, so nobody go upstairs in the back. Over here, the women's home, More Precious than Rubies, they are completely rebuilding it. I walked over and walked around today, and it's going to have what, 11 bedrooms? It's going to have 12 bedrooms, amen, being completely rebuilt. They got that thing gutted. So only thing we got to make sure of is by next Thursday, Miss Jenny, that all that stuff's picked up and everything for the food pantry, and we'll get with the people if you could, Emily. Make sure they have all that work that they do because they was working on the second story today, throwing everything over. And man, it's just craziness going on out there. So if we could have that picked up on this Thursday, and then it shouldn't be but one more Thursday that we got to do it while they're doing that. So it is a blessing. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Kiddos, come on down. That just went from a laugh to a cry quick, didn't it? Kiddos, come on down. Come on, Kaya. What are you doing? Come on. You want to pray?
Thank you, Lord, for this day and that we have a great day today. That you watch over us and keep us safe, keep us bold as a lion. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
That bold. Hey, how'd that goat riding go? Well, y'all went and rode them sheep the other day. How'd you do?
Good.
Did you get bucked off?
No.
You didn't? That's all right. Huh? You did? Hey, that's the funnest part, getting bucked off.
I fell off.
Oh, big difference. That's right. Did you get up and jump back on him?
No, because you only get to go one time.
All right, well, praise God. All right, y'all. The rest of y'all stuck in here with me. You follow Brother Sean. Follow Brother Sean. Hey, Jacoby, and Bailey, huh? Yeah. I know they know. I just want to see y'all need any extra help out there tonight. Well, you need one more person to go with you. Y'all got it? Okay. All right. Those of y'all that are in here with me, open up your Bible to 2 Corinthians 11. All right. The name of my message tonight is Breaking Strongholds. I'm going to talk to y'all about something a little bit different. And this is something that I used to teach on quite a bit. It's been a few years since I've done it. But I want to teach y'all tonight about breaking strongholds. And here's what the church has got to recognize. And here's what the church has got to be willing to notice and willing to see, okay? I'm going to start out by asking y'all this question. Name me a disease in the Bible that sends somebody to hell, like cancer, epilepsy. I mean, I know there was even leprosy in the Bible. That was a form, a type of sin, but it wasn't sin itself. It was used many times. But name me a disease in the Bible that because this person had this disease, God said they're going to hell. There's not one, right? Okay. Now, does the Bible say that a drunkard, a liar, and all of that stuff, sexually immoral, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, right? So why today do people call alcoholism and drug addiction a disease? Are you with me on this? You see where I'm going with this, right? See, today we've taken this and we've called drug addiction a disease, right? But there's nowhere in the Bible that anybody's sent to hell for a disease. But in the Bible, it does say a drunkard, sexually immoral, all of these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you see how we're taking things and we're putting these titles on in order to make it more palatable to people, make it sound better, all right? Make it look better, make it appear to be better, amen? And try to make it soft in order that it's more tasty to the ones that we're telling it to. So let's look at this. I'm going to talk to you all tonight about spirits. And I'm talking about demonic spirits. I'm talking about demonic spirits that attach themselves to people's lives and it causes complete chaos and people don't even recognize it. People don't recognize it. People don't recognize these demons. And what they've done is they've learned to call them other things. You know, I'm an alcoholic. They've learned to call it a sickness instead of a bondage. All right? They've learned to call these things a sickness. You've learned to call your horrible attitude a sickness instead of a bondage. You've decided, you know, we got all these things going on, and we, you know, lust, we call it some type of something instead of a bondage. And the Bible very, very clearly talks about several things. Spirit of bondage. In Romans chapter 8, spirit of bondage, okay? The Bible tells us, I believe it's in the book of Timothy, about a spirit of error. See, there's people that absolutely cannot understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, cannot understand the word of God. Why? Because they're under a spirit of error. All right, a spirit of fear. People that are worried all the time. Always worried about this, worried about that. It's a spirit of fear. The Bible says, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and what? A sound mind. Amen. There's things that are going on in people's lives, and because the church don't want to talk about it, the enemy has come in and put strongholds on people, and they're walking around wondering why they can't set free, and they don't even have the knowledge or the ability on how to properly pray in order to see themselves get set free. So you got to understand that there's seducing spirits out there that are seducing people into believing things that are not true. It's seduction. It's a seducing spirit. And they're going to seduce you into things that are nice, that are sweet, that seem okay, that seem no trouble. And it seduces you into these things. And what ends up happening, you end up getting into a spirit of error. All right, so we're going to talk to you about some of these things tonight, and there's many of them. There's no way that I'm going to be able to talk to you about, all about it tonight. But tonight I want to talk to you about divination. And the Bible specifically in the Old Testament and the New Testament calls it a spirit of divination. Now, let me say this to you. Let me just lay out a couple things that fall under the spirit of divination. Number one, let me just blow your mud right out of the hole right now, okay? Spirit of divination. If you're one of these people that read horoscopes, divination. All right? Horoscopes is divination. Because horoscopes is looking at the stars and doing all that, and you'll be surprised at how many people in the church think it's okay to look at a daily horoscope. And the reason this is the problem with it is that you're going to an outside source to get your leadership. You're going to an outside source to find out what it's going to hold instead of going to God. All right? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. Amen. And what we do when we start going to horoscopes and start going to the stars and start going to all this stuff, now we're looking at the creation above the creator, which Romans 1 teaches us about. Amen. God created the stars, but he never told us to go to the stars to get answers. He told us to go to him. Amen. So with horoscopes, how about Ouija boards? If you've ever played with Ouija boards, you need to repent. Horoscopes, you need to repent. You need to turn from it. Tarot cards, you need to repent. You need to turn from it. Palm reading, you need to repent. You need to turn from it. Amen. All of this stuff going on where you get into stuff of voodoo dolls and all of this stuff, black magic and white magic and all of these things that are going on. If you've ever practiced any of this stuff, you need to repent and you need to turn from it, because I believe there's many people today that are not walking into victory that they need to walk in because they've not turned from the stuff that God says they need to turn from. All right. If you're under the control of prescription drugs or any type of drugs, pharmakia, which is a spirit of witchcraft. And I'm not saying medicine, taking medicine is wrong, but if those medications dictate your life and if you're addicted to them and it causes you to abuse them and it causes you to use them in order to get a buzz, you're under pharmakia. The word pharmakia is witchcraft. It's another substance controlling your mind. And the word of God tells us that we're to be renewed in our mind. By what? We're to have the spirit of God. Our mind, let this mind be in you. What is that? The mind and the spirit, the mind of the spirit of God. All right. So when these other things are doing these things, then we're looking at other things and we wonder why. We wonder, why am I not getting free? Why am I not getting understanding? Why is this not happening? Because there's so much other things going on in my life. Now, many people say, and I believe this, that if you're born again and saved, you cannot be demon possessed. I believe that. All right. If you're born again and saved, but you can definitely be oppressed or you can be harassed or tormented. Amen. And I'm going to show you a couple things tonight. And with the men's home, this is some things that I started studying about a week ago, and this is some things that I've been praying over and been praying over and praying over in the men's home the past few days. So let's look at this. Now, first of all, we got to understand what the dictionary or what is the meaning of divination. And divination is the practice of attempting to foretell future events or discover hidden knowledge by occult or supernatural means. What would that be? What would that be? When you go in and you read your horoscope and it says, oh, so-and-so, look for this to happen today. What is it when you go to somebody and you got your tarot cards and you say, oh, look, and here's the problem with this stuff. Most people get a silly little grin on their face and they think it's absolutely no big deal. They think it's fun. All right? But the people that do that, they don't even recognize that the bondage they're in to that very thing. They're not willing to let it go. There is absolutely, the Bible says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? What fellowship does God have with horoscopes and tarot cards? What fellowship? There's none there. God wants us to go to his word and trust in his spirit, and he will lead us, he will guide us into all truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what your horoscope says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what your palm reader says. Faith coming by hearing and hearing what your tarot card says. No, faith coming by hearing and hearing by what? The word of God. Amen. And we go to all these other things and people go out there and you're just playing with them and you're thinking it's just a silly little bit of fun. When the word of God, this is one of the whole reasons that the children of Israel would never step into what God had for them. Why? Because of their idolatry. And what was their idolatry? Trusting in the sun god, trusting in the moon god, trusting in the stars, trusting in the golden calf, trusting in their tarot cards, trusting in this, trusting in that. And we wonder why we're bound up and we wonder why we're in bondage. You ain't gonna hear this preached in the church today. Because, you know, I did, in the United States of America, between 32 million and 70 million people read a horoscope daily, and a majority of those claim to be Christians. And we wonder why the body's so weak. Amen? Wonder why there might be so much sickness in the body. Amen? All right, so let's look here. So the spirit of divination, what is it? The practice of attempting to foretell future events or discover hidden knowledge by occult or supernatural means. God's word tells us what people, God's word tells us that people who do this divination are controlled by demonic spirits controlled by demonic spirits. So when you see these people on Oprah and you see these people on TV, and we'll get into familiar spirits and all that stuff later, probably not today, but look at me right here. If you sit there and you say that you seen your dead so-and-so come to you and tell you something, it ain't your dead so-and-so. If you say my dead mama come to me and told me this, or my dead granddaddy come to me and told me this, and I ain't saying you can't. If they, you say they come to you and told you this, no, they did not. That is unbiblical. It's not in the Word of God. It's not there. What that is a familiar spirit that is addressing or shaping or making itself look like somebody that you'll recognize, so you'll put value into what it is that they have to say. That's called a familiar spirit. The Bible talks about it. That stuff's got to be busted loose. I don't care what you say. People say, well, what about Samuel? I'm going to teach you about Samuel and how that was a familiar spirit. That wasn't God doing that. And I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. So before you even try to go there with your mind, I'm going to blow that one up in order to justify what it is that you want to do. I may not make it there tonight, amen, but I'll be there Sunday. All right? So when we look at this, it says that these people, they are controlled by demonic spirits. So when you hear people sitting there and they're like, oh, hey, Scott, do you have a relative that sounded like, William? Well, I had an Uncle Bill. Oh. We all know that Bill is short for William, right? And what will happen is don't think that demons don't know what's going on in the world. How many of us want to hear from God? Well, you got people out there that hear from God, but don't think you ain't got Satan soldiers that don't hear from him. And the Bible says that they masquerade around as an angel of light, that they seem like they're something good. And so they bring all these mediums, they bring all this stuff on TV, they put them on Oprah, they put them on Dr. Phil, they put them on all this stuff, and people, and they're talking this stuff into people's lives, and they're saying, oh, your sister, your brother, your mother, they're telling me this, they're telling me this, and the fact of the matter is, that's the truth, that's what they're hearing. But it's not their dead sister, it's not their dead mother, it's not their dead brother, it is a demonic spirit that is giving them that information. It's a demonic spirit. And they try to make it into white magic like it's something good. And there's nothing good that comes out of it at all. All these witch doctors, believe me, I've seen the demonic realm. I've cast demons out of people. I've been in some of the darkest places in the world. I know what I'm talking about here. I've seen demons manifest. I've had people to try to kill me. I've had people to try to put spells on me. I've had people to try to put curses on me. I've had people to show up in places where I was preaching just to try to shut me down. But the power of God, he that is in me, is greater than he that is in the world. And these are demonic, they're controlled by demonic spirits that are not of God. And they do not receive their knowledge from the Holy Spirit. This is what God's people do. God's people receive divine revelation. Why? Because he is divine from the Holy Spirit according to this book right here. According, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be immediately present before the Lord. It doesn't say you're going backwards and forth. Amen. You go to one of two places when you die. If you're born again and saved, you step into everlasting joy. If you're not saved, you step into everlasting condemnation and torment. And the Bible says, where the worm doth not die, nor does the flame quenched. It's forever torment. And we know that there's no way out of hell when a person goes to hell. Why? Because when you look at Luke chapter 16, and the rich man that was in hell said, can we go back? Will you go back? And will you tell my family? He said, no, I ain't going to do it. He said, if they ain't going to listen to the law of Moses, they ain't going to listen to the word of God, they sure ain't going to listen to a man that comes back from the dead. All right? So what happened? So these demonic spirits may appear to be something, but it's not what it appears to be. Are y'all with me on this? All right? So the Holy Ghost, we get our divine revelation through the Holy Spirit. Fortune tellers, sorcerers, palm readers, horoscopes, and so forth receive their information from demon spirits acting to be good. Man, I've heard stories. I've had people come right here in this church to me and talk to me about how their parents at night have left, had out-of-body experiences and like floated around Bridgeport, and you think they're crazy. And I say to hear stuff like that, I'm like, check this stuff out, man. levitation, all this stuff that you see on TV with all of these magicians, these magic people doing tricks out here on the streets and levitating and all that, demonic. And this stuff comes in as a form of entertainment to get into your house, to get a foot in your door. It's demonic. The stuff that your kids watch on TV, a majority of the stuff that comes out on Disney that just completely infiltrates houses and Nickelodeon and all this stuff, you look at it, demonic. And we sit there and we pump that garbage into our children and pump it into our children and pump it into our children. And we wonder why after so many years they're not receiving the Word of God. Why they have no interest in the Word of God. Because the things that directly oppose the Word of God have been pumped into their system for so long. Under the disguise of entertainment. And it's caused their heart to become callous to the Word of God. I was talking to some of the guys at the gym this morning. And one of the discussions that we was having backwards and forth was about, you know, experiencing life and doing all this. And I was saying that here's what I want my children to do. I don't want my children to experience life. Because those that have experienced life, that which the Bible calls abnormal has now become normal. I want my children, when they get out there in the world and they see things, it's got a shock value to them, and they're so shocked by it that it causes them to go the other way. I don't want my children to be in a place when they get older that they're so used to evil being called good that evil doesn't even affect their conscience anymore. Does that make sense? In the same way that Christ inspires his ministers to do miracles, Satan inspires his ministers to do miracles. All right, let's talk about that for a second. Where's the first place in the Word of God where we've seen Satan's ministers do miracles? Book of Exodus. Right? Moses comes in. Moses throws down his staff. It turns into a serpent. The magicians come in. They throw their staff down, and it turns into a serpent also. Then Moses' serpent swallows up their serpents, proving the power of God is greater than that power. You see that? The Bible tells us. What does the Bible tell us? It says in the last days, Matthew chapter 24, that there will be false Christs doing fake signs and fake wonders and fake miracles. It tells us that in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So Satan is going to have the ability to do false signs, lying wonders, lying miracles. The miracles are going to be there, and the credit is going to be given. It's going to be like he's God doing it, but it's not God doing it. And that's why it's so important that we got to understand this stuff. That's why it's so important we got to understand what to look for in the end times. That's why we got to know the Bible and know what the Bible says about what to look for, about these people that are pulling fire out of the sky and doing all these miracles. If you don't know what the Bible says about that, you're going to be deceived, and you're going to think it's some kind of great miracle. And the Bible says that if that time wasn't shortened, even the elect wouldn't make it. And the elect is Christians. Amen. So let's look here and see what it says. 2 Corinthians 11:4. Y'all with me? 2 Corinthians 11:4 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." What is an angel of light? Something that's good. Do you think that when Adam and Eve was in the garden, that Satan appeared as something that was bad, something that was horrible, something that was awful? No. And we all think that Satan is going to make this manifestation, and we're going to be able to recognize how horrific he is. But the Bible says that he appears as an angel of light. He appears as something good. And if you don't have any spiritual discernment, and if you're not prayed up in the Holy Ghost, if you're not sensitive in the spiritual realm, if you're just walking through this life singing kumbaya, not even aware of the wickedness in this world and the demonic influences that are trying to take your focus off of God, then you're not even going to be aware of the things that are going on around you. And we wonder why we end up in bondage, because we don't even know how to fight, much less put on the armor of God. And we got people that are walking around in bondage, people that are walking around that don't have no excitement. That's what I brought up in Bible study this morning. I was talking to everybody in Bible study. I said, why is this? I said, why is it that when we're doing something, you wide awake? You wide slap jack awake. Right? Wide awake. The moment you come down here and sitting in Bible study, and then you sit there and lie to me when I say, wake up, you're going, I wasn't asleep. I said, bull corn, man, you just had that pin 6 inches up your nose where you fell on it. Wake up. Why is it that when we go through life, we do our day-to-day stuff, but why is it when it comes down to the Word of God, people start dozing off and people start falling asleep? Oh, no. We stay away from anything else. I guarantee you, we start talking about dope and start talking about our old stories that we used to. Everybody's talking. You get in the Word of God, everybody going, oh, yeah, I remember this one time. And then all of a sudden, you start talking about Jesus. It's like, yeah, everybody clap off. You know it's true. Facts, isn't it? Devil don't want you to get this stuff. He don't want you to be identified. The Bible says a whole bunch of times, I think it's either 30-something times or 60-something times. I can't remember. I know that's a big variance, but it's a bunch. All right? Do not be deceived. Be aware of the wicked. Paul said, be aware of the snares of the wicked one. Amen. The Bible says that immediately the enemy comes and tries to steal. Who comes and tries to steal it? Who comes and tries to steal it? See, there's a point in time in your life when you're not getting this. You got to wake up, hello, McFly, and say, maybe the devil's stealing it. Why? Because the Bible says so. That Bible that you say that you believe in. All right. Every time you walk out of here and you go right back to the same thing, every time you walk out of here, you have no power, you have no victory, you can't remember what was talking about, there's no application of what was talking about. Why? Because the Bible says immediately the enemy comes to steal the seed. Maybe that's what's happening to you. No, not me. Okay. Pride, that's another thing that's going on. Amen? Does that make sense? And no marvel. That means we shouldn't be surprised what Satan's disciples do if we'll only look at the character of their master. What does he do? He comes to lie. He comes to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. He's the father of what? Lies. He's a murderer. Been a murderer from when? The beginning. All right? He does not have the ability to tell the truth. Well, he does. I'm going to show you this here in a second. But he uses it for the wrong purposes. Okay? So we should not marvel, he says, and no marvel, this shouldn't surprise you, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. It is clear right here that Paul, I believe that Paul is thinking about how Satan tempted Eve in the garden. Because when you read back up a little bit, he says, who has led you from the simplicity of Christ? And he takes it back to Eve. He told her she would, and this is basically what the enemy said in the garden. He told her that her light, he didn't say the word light, but that she would increase. What does light do? Light increases. Light still increasing the universe. Then he told her that she would what? Increase in wisdom and knowledge. That was the light she wanted. And that she'd have the power to know what? The difference between good and what? Evil. And he appeared as something good. I mean, he's in there. He didn't walk up to her and say, hey, I just want you to know, chill out, I'm the devil. He immediately stole the word that had been sold. Immediately. God had spoken to Adam, and what did he say? He said, you can eat from any tree that you want to eat from. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a lot of preachers sit here and say, and Adam didn't tell Eve. No, Adam did tell Eve because Eve quoted back to the serpent what Adam told her. Right? And Eve said, no, we can eat from any. Or Eve said, no, we'll eat from there, but if we eat from there, surely we'll die. And Satan goes, surely you won't die, but you'll be able to know. You'll be able to know. See, that's what's up with all these false, goofy doctrines out there. Everybody wants to know something. Everybody wants to have this knowledge that they've got something that nobody else knows. Does that make sense? All right. So we go on here and it says, and no marvel for Satan. He himself is transformed into an angel of light. So Satan's, now let me ask you this. I made this note today. Satan will get his ministers to imitate Christianity and even do miracles. Now, here's my question to you. Where do you think Satan's ministers would be? In the church or outside the church? Where do you think they'd be? Look around you. This is where they want to be. This is where they want to be. Because they want to be coming into these places. They want to put people behind these pulpits. They want to do all this stuff that's telling you stuff that ain't true, that keeps you in the darkness. The strongest bondage in the world, stronger than crack cocaine, stronger than methamphetamines, stronger than any pornography, stronger than any alcoholic beverage. The most addicting bondage and strongest bondage in the world is religion. That man does, they can be sitting in there, they can hear that it's not truth, they can hear everything that's being skipped over, they can hear about it, but they can't scuff up enough strength within themselves to walk away from it. Strongest bondage in the world. And they can't find the strength. And then what the enemy will really do is he'll take you and your wife and put you on two different pages. Well, yeah, but honey, I like that church. Yeah, but I believe we're called over here. Well, why don't you go over there and I'll stay here? Wrong. Man up, man. It's your decision to lead that family. That's your role to lead that family. Amen? As I was talking earlier, in the Old Testament, they had watchmen on the wall. What was a watchman on the wall? The watchman on the wall was somebody that walked backwards and forth on the top of the wall. And leadership, man, leadership is just being the example, just doing it, just being there, just being at church, being in prayer, lifting your hands up and praying, doing Bible study with your kids, letting your kids see you in the Word of God. That's leadership. That's leadership. Leadership is making the decision. No, we're not going to do this today. You know why? Because this is it. This is it right here. That's what we do on Sundays. That's leadership. That's leadership is not just telling them what they need to do, but actually doing it. You know how many people I have come to me, man? I just had some people come to me just here the other day. And they're like, Kevin, my parents are telling me to do this. My parents are telling me to trust in God. My parents are telling me this, tell me that. But they don't even do it themselves. They don't even, and they're not drinking, they're not drugging, they're not doing any of that stuff. But he says, I mean, and this girl was telling me this, and there wasn't nobody in here, so don't anybody going, who was it, all right? Somebody that come to me, all right? And they was like, but my parents won't even get up and go in church. My parents, and so even though this young girl is like, wants to respect her mom and dad and do what's right because she's got a better understanding of the Word of God than they do. Because you know why? She does go to church on a regular basis. She learned some of these things in church, but she's sitting there going, but my parents don't even do it. And she's like, it drives me absolutely bonkers that they're sitting here telling me to do it all the time. Anything else that comes up, they don't even do it. And I want to just cut loose, but I was like, I said, well, you just keep on doing what you're supposed to do. Amen? All right, let's go here. It's going to get you one day. You don't listen to what I'm saying to you. It's going to get you one day. All right. Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise, I jumped ahead of myself a while ago, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the one is through, that's the lawless ones, the Antichrist. The one is through the activity of Satan with great power and signs and false wonders. Now let's jump down to Acts chapter 16. Now in Acts chapter 16, this is where Luke tells a story about a woman possessed by a spirit of divination. Now listen to this. All right? Acts chapter 16, verse 16. All right, here we go. And it came to pass, all right, let's look here. Acts 16, verse 16. And it happened that is when we was on our way to the place of prayer. Oh, actually, let me put all amplified over here. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So that is a demonic spirit, okay, claiming to foretell the future and discover hidden knowledge. So we see right here, according to the Word of God, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, which that sounds to me like this is a place that they regularly went to prayer, okay? It says that a certain damsel, woman, possessed with the spirit of divination, which is a spirit that claims to be able to foretell the future, foretell things that are happening. And this is the problem. The Bible says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will lead us into all truth. God wants us to depend on His leading, His guidance, and His utterance. He wants us to depend upon the Word of God. He does not want us to depend upon anything else. And anything else, I'm going to say it again, horoscopes, tarot cards, all right, what was I saying a while ago, palm readers, fortune tellers. How about people that got these little crystal balls and these little crystal rocks that think that some kind of Mother Earth has got some kind of healing power in it? Demonic. Straight up of the devil. These are the things that God said, get rid of, burn, and destroy. Romans chapter 1, they exalted the creation. Who made the rock? God. Who made the tree? God. Who made the bones and the animals that are used for this stuff? God. Who made the tea leaves? God. And they're going to the creation looking for an answer. And when you go to the creation looking for the answer, that's idolatry. The Bible says, put no other God before me. They're just sticks and stones. They can't give you an answer. That's putting the creation, all of those things are created by God. And you're going to the creation for an answer instead of to the Creator for the answer. And it opens up doors into your life. It allows the enemy to get in there and get his fingers inside the door. And you may not see it today, but every time you do it, that door opens a little wider and a little wider and a little wider. And one day you look up and you're like, what in the world is going on? Listen to me, parents, listen to me. You are feeding this mess to your kids. Through the video games that they play. Through the video games that they're watching, that has become a babysitter. That it's easier to take your kids and let them sit there and watch videos all day than it is to be interactive with them. And most parents, that their kids got this stuff, ain't got no clue what they're looking at. Kids having to run around and grabbing a hold of phones, and you look at them 5 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old, whatever it is, and it's like they're addicted to it. I said religion was one of the most addicting things. Let me tell you the next most addicting thing. You know what? I've seen a lot of drugs taken away from a lot of people, but I ain't ever seen a drug addict have a fit like a kid when their phone's taken away. My parents, that ought to be a clue to you. That ought to be a stinking clue. That the bondages, the hooks are already being set in. But what we want to do is we want to be a friend of the world instead of friend of God. And the Bible says if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. So what do we want to do? Don't make the kid mad. I don't want to look bad. I don't want to look this way. I don't want to look that way. So I allow the things of the world to continue becoming an enemy of God. When that is our job, to protect our children, they've been given to us, to protect them against that stuff. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about, Pastor Kevin. Okay. I know you're not in bondage. You just ain't got enough power to take it away from them, do you? Which is a spirit of bondage, Romans chapter 8. I'm scared they're going to get mad at me. I will not put you back in the spirit of bondage to fear, what the Bible says. So if you let your children or your spouse or whoever it is continue down these paths and you let them do it because you don't want to make them mad, then you're operating in a spirit of fear. Why? Because you're afraid they're going to get mad at you. I just want to keep the peace. You never compromise God's word to keep peace. The only way you will ever be able to keep peace is by giving the enemy his way. And sooner or later, he's going to come and collect. So sooner or later. All right, y'all ready? And we ain't even getting deep into this tonight. All right, let's go back to this. So it happened that we were on our way to the place of prayer that we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. And she brought her owners a good prophet and fortune telling. So this girl's fortune telling ability came from demonic spirits. Listen, it's not ESP. It's not fortune telling. Well, that's what it's called. Listen, it is demonic evil spirits. That's why it says possessed by a spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit? What was it? This should be enough right here to convince you. This should be enough right here that you ought to be doing a self-inventory on yourself and saying, Lord, have I ever looked at horoscopes? Okay, horoscopes, as little as they seem, is that coming from God? It's not. And so what the enemy has done, I keep going back to it, is he tricks it. It's good, clean, little fun. Oh, it's fun, so it can't be bad. I know a lot of things that I used to do that I thought were fun, and they were real bad. Amen? Do you read? Now, some of you are going to walk right out of here, and you're going to say, I don't believe that, which is mean that the God of this world has got you so blinded you can't even see the truth of the Word of God that you say that you believe in. I show it to you on the screen, and some of you might walk out of here tonight saying, I don't believe that. It's just for fun. You say, well, you didn't show me about astrologers and reading the stars. Oh, I ain't got there yet. I don't think I'm going to leave that bullet out. All right? So people use many methods in order to tell future events, from interpreting what they called omens in nature to communicating with spirits of the dead. This young slave, I'm telling you, man, you caught up in this. Oh, my great-grandmama come and visited me last night. No, that was a demon. You are negotiating with demons. That's what's coming and seeing you. Why is that so hard to believe? That's a demon. That's what happened with Saul when he went to the witch. Huh? The witch of Endor. And she was outside, wasn't she? She wasn't indoor. She done got cast out. Sorry, y'all. She couldn't stay indoor no more. Said, get out! But anyway. Oh, man. So anyway, what was I saying? Oh, Saul. So they go in and this spirit and they think it's Saul, but it's not Saul. It's a familiar spirit. It's a demon that's appearing to be him, appearing to be something that it's not. All right? So let's go on. And I won't make it there tonight. I know I won't. So the young slave girl had an evil spirit. She made her masters rich by interpreting signs and telling people their fortunes. These masters were exploiting her condition for personal gain. Wouldn't tell her the truth. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say this to you, and you might get mad at me. But there's preachers that are sitting up here behind pulpits that are exploiting people that are sitting in congregations because they don't want to stop the money from coming in, but they're not willing to tell them the truth about the spiritual condition that they're in. Church is full of sexual immorality. Full of people reading horoscopes, but they ain't gonna say, well, I'm not gonna go there. Well, I'm not gonna go there. Well, I'm not gonna go there. And because, listen to me, the Bible says that they will set before them preachers that tickle their ears. That's what the Word says, right? In other words, when you've got something that you wanna hear, you don't wanna hear real preaching, the judgment of God. This is the judgment of God. It says God will set before him preachers that tickle their ears. So if you got a preacher before you that tickles your ear, that just tells you the things that you want to hear, then the judgment of God has already started on you. That's already the judgment of God. And you know what the sad thing is? The spirit of error that you walk in can't see it. And the Bible calls it a spirit of error. The God of this world has got you blinded to the truth of the gospel. Let the glorious light of the gospel shine in. Amen. How many people walking around, I mean, they'll read in the Bible, a drunkard, a drug addict will not inherit the kingdom of God, but they will sit there, been addicted to drugs their whole life, and they think they're going to heaven. They just think they're going to heaven. Why? Because that's what I believe. My faith, your faith don't undo what God's word says. Your faith should undo what's going on in the inside of you and bring you into obedience to what God's word says. Does that make sense? Amen. So you think God's just going to turn it for you? I know my word says that a pill popping drug addict crackhead ain't going to go to heaven. That was for that person, not for you. You didn't have enough faith to believe that word right there and quit, but you're going to get on in here. And I know people just going to blow their minds out there saying, where's God's grace? It's in the word. I'm going to show it to you. All right, we ready? All right, verse 17. She followed after Paul. What kind of spirit did she have? Spirit of divination. What did this spirit do? Fortune telling. All right? She followed after Paul and us and kept screaming and shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God. They are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Remember a while ago when I said, oh, yeah, they can tell truth? Because this was truth. Paul and his people, they were men of God. And they were proclaiming the way of salvation. Now, here's the deal. This annoyed Paul. Most preachers today, this is why we got to watch out for flattering speech. Because most preachers today would not recognize this. Most people today would not recognize this. You walk up to them, you walk in and say, hey, that preacher right there, man of God right here, showing the way of salvation. Most people are like, you want to come work on my staff? You need a job? I'll try to bring them with them. I'll try to hire them. Nobody would be able to say that unless it was by the Spirit of God. Who would be telling people? I'm out here preaching the truth, right? Why would the devil be telling people to follow me? That's how we would justify it in our brain. But Paul listens to him for a couple days and finally gets fed up, and he turns around, put the next verse up there. He turns around. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, thus men, to put up here verse 18. Somebody help me with 18. Hello, 18. There we go. Thought I was going to have to write it up there. I'm going to cast something out of here tonight. Something got to go in the name of Jesus. I play with y'all. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, he knew something wasn't right, turned and said to the who? To the who? The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but it's got a whole list, but the gist of it is we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness, things, demon spirits in high places. That's what we wrestle against. So many, many times when you're going through this mess and you're continually depressed and you just can't get out of it, you're continually oppressed and you just can't get out of it. You just continue with this negative, beat down mentality, thinking you're a failure and a loser, and you can never find the energy to strum up enough anything to just stand up and fight a few minutes a day. That's because there's a spirit of oppression that's keeping you down. And until you recognize it, you'll never be set free from it. You can go take all the medications you want. You can go get every drug there is, but you can't medicate demons. You've got to cast them out. Yeah. Amen. And until you get past your pride and thinking you know so much, it's going to control you, and you're going to look up one day and you're 65 years old and you're going to go, what happened in my life? He said, and he turned and said to the Spirit. Why? Because this battle ain't against flesh and blood. But you believe, listen, if you don't believe what I'm telling you now, you don't believe the Word of God. It's right here. He turned and he said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out that same hour.
Now, why did Paul not hire this woman? What was this demon spirit? What do you think this demon spirit was doing? Why was this demon spirit talking about the truth, saying that, telling the truth about Paul? The reason I believe it was is because everybody in that region knew that she was a diviner. And this spirit of divination, when you study it out, it was actually called the Python spirit and something else. Anybody in here? I forgot. But it was a Python spirit, like a snake spirit. That's funny. It goes all the way back to the serpent, right? But it was called something, this Python spirit that they thought was a god. I can't remember the Greek name for it. I was reading it earlier today. But it's the spirit of Python, okay? This spirit, okay, that's what they called it, the Greek and Romans, all right? And so they knew that this woman operated under this false god, or this god that they had made. So now the devil is coming out there and he says, hey, I'm going to try to win him over to my side. So then what would have happened, let me put it to you this way, Chrislam. Let me put it to you this way. Can't we all just coexist? Have you seen the stickers, the bumpers? Can't we all just get along? Can't we all just get along? No, I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters, but if you're Catholic, we ain't going to be buddies. Why? Because you pray to Mary. There ain't but one way to the Father. That's Jesus Christ. That's what the Word says. Sorry, we ain't going to be hanging out. Well, you're being judgmental. I'm sorry, but the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. We ain't got nothing to talk about. Well, Brother Kevin, you're a little harsh, aren't you? No, read the Word. Amen. So the reason it was, they're saying, hey, yeah, these men, they know the way to salvation. These are men of God. So what the devil's doing is this, he's saying, hey, let's see if we can draw them over to this side. They'll walk with us, John, be in agreement with us, and then everybody will think that we, you know, kind of serve the same God, and we can just all get along and be one big happy family. And that's what most people do. Oh, Kevin, we're not to judge. That's what these people say. You got people out there, man, these people out there, big-time preachers out there, they're saying that the Muslims worship the same God that we worship. That's what they say. No, they don't. And then they say we need to come together because we worship the same God, and we just got a little discrepancy in the Jesus. And that's enough for me not to be there unless I'm telling them about Jesus and they're receiving. Right? And they call it Chrislam. That's a perfect picture of this right here. Trying to use the enemy to trick people into thinking, say, hey, let's get here, let's get together, and then everybody think we're, you know, that they approve of what I'm doing. They approve of my fortune telling. But what did Paul do? Paul didn't sit there and say, no, we don't want to make them mad. No, we don't want to run them off. He turned around and said, you foul demon, get out of here in the name of Jesus. That ain't no different than preachers that are standing behind a pulpit that won't need to say what needs to be said. Keeping them in bondage. All right, you ready? Is this making sense to y'all? Yeah. And this is what all that this demon-possessed girl was saying, everything that this demon-possessed girl was saying was true. But the plan of Satan was to make it look like the apostles were in agreement with these demonic fortune-telling spirits in order to discredit them. This would cause the people to think the miracles performed were by Satan, and this would have discredited the gospel. She continued doing this for several days. Then Paul, greatly annoyed and worn out, turned and said to the spirit inside her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very moment. So when the demons were cast out, this proved that the apostles were of God and not this woman. You see that? All right. So it's clear that what does God show us here? What can we figure out here, church? What can we figure out here? We can figure out, I can tell by looking at this, it's very clear to me that God wants to work with us, through us, and in us in order to see other people get set free. Church, we ought to be practicing this. It's been a couple years, man, but I've been used so many times. God has used me so many times to cast demons out of people, to see people get set free. So many times, I've lost count. And the reason it was is because I had an understanding of stuff like this. Amen? So when we look at this, all right. Now, this is what I did. I made this note. I said, I believe God wants to work through his children against the powers of darkness, against the power of Satan. Amen? So here's what we must do. We must church. We must choose whom we will serve. So this is what 2 Corinthians 6:14 says. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6:14. Check this out. He tells us, says, do not be unequally yoked. Do not be unequally bound together with unbelievers. Church, what do we not understand about this? That's hard, man. That's hard. You know how many weddings I've not done because they were unbelievers? You know how many weddings I've not done because one of them believed and one of them didn't? Even though the other one that didn't believe said they did, but there was no fruit in their life. You know how many people have not asked me to do their wedding because they knew I probably wouldn't do it because of the stance that I take? You know how many people have went somewhere else after I would not do their wedding then come back to me and said, I wish I would have listened to you and never got married? That ain't no lie. Bunch of those. Oh, Kevin, I wish I'd listened. I look at it, I say, I do too. What can I do? Suck it up. Amen. Do not be unequally bound together. Do not be, if you got the King James, say, do not be unequally yoked together. Now, what does this mean? This means do not make mismatched alliances with them inconsistent with your faith. So now, does that mean that we should never talk to unbelievers or anything? No, we got to have a witness. We got to try to win them to the Lord. But you ain't got no reason being in partnerships, relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend, marriages, and all that stuff with somebody that ain't a believer. And it always amazes me how either the weak believers end up in these relationships with people that they think are believers, but they're really not believers. Well, Pastor Kevin, how do you know they're not a believer? Because they don't believe what the Word of God says. Yes, they do. Then why don't they obey what that says? Right? So when you look into the Word of God and the Word of God says something and you directly obey it, the book, the Bible, calls that the spirit of rebellion, which is the spirit of witchcraft when you directly disobey what God says. That's a spirit of rebellion, witchcraft. The Bible says the spirit of witchcraft is as of witchcraft. Is witchcraft, yeah, all right? So he says, for what partnership, now listen, do not be unequally yoked, bound together. Do not get in alliances with people that are inconsistent to your faith. Why do we? Because we don't believe the word. Just that simple. There's no other reason. Not unless that's just a part of the word that you don't know yet. But the main reason is we just don't believe the word. I mean, that when we put all other mess aside, we don't believe the word when we do that. Somebody give me another reason besides ignorance. An ignorance man, you don't know the word right there. Because when you don't know the word, we'll do certain things and we see it in the word, we should repent and turn from it, right? Somebody give me. The reason that is because we don't believe the word of God. We don't believe what he's saying is yes and amen. Right? All right, so let's go on. So I wonder how many things have crept into our life through alliances that we've took with other people, relationships with other people. How many people, don't raise your hands, but how many people do you know that have ended up in addiction because of a relationship they got into? How many people do you know that have ended up addicted to alcohol because of a relationship they got into? How many people do you know that ended up addicted to prescription drugs because of a relationship they got into? How many people do you know ended up getting addicted to pornography because of a relationship they got into? How many people do you know that end up being in family violence because of a relationship they got into? They made alliances with people that was not consistent with the faith that they said they had. How many people ended up with CPS cases because of the relationships they got into? Do we not see this, church? Amen? All right, so let's go on here. So what harmony, now listen, check this out. What harmony, Sharon, what is harmony? It's a musical term. What does that mean? Sounds good together, right? Yeah, sounds right together. What does it mean, Chris? Sound different. They sound different, but they sound right together, right? So that's what he's saying. He's saying here, what harmony, what good, what right can there be between Christ and Belial? or Christ and Satan? What harmony can there be there? Light and darkness does not mix. Listen, when light shows up in a room, it drives the darkness out. That's just what it does. Light can't show up and say, oh, I'm not going to drive the darkness out today. That's just what it does. And darkness can't say, oh, I'm going to stay in this room today even though the light's here. No, when light shows up, darkness has just got to go. That's the way it should be when you get born again and saved. Why does it not happen? Jesus is the light. We start seeing stuff. He says, my word is a lamp under your path. Why? All right, let's go on here. He says, for what harmony can there be between Christ and Belial? Well, you'll say, well, he's talking about devil and Satan there. He ain't talking about me and other people. Okay. Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What concord has Christ with Belial? That word Belial means Satan. All right? So, church, or what part has he that believes with an infidel? Or you might say, what part does a believer and an unbeliever have in common? It's not there. You're too inconsistent. Light and darkness does not mix. The blood of animals and the blood of Jesus does not mix. Oil and water does not mix. We all understand that, right? Then why do we make it so hard when it comes down to unbelievers and we call ourselves believers? Why? Because the spirit of fear creeps in and we get afraid of what somebody's going to think about me, say about me, or how they're going to look at me. And now this spirit of fear, it overwhelms me. And now I'm all of a sudden more concerned about what they think instead of about what he thinks. And the more I do it, the stronger it gets, the stronger it gets, the stronger it gets. We got preachers standing behind pulpits that are afraid to say parts of the Word of God because they're afraid of the reaction of the congregation. We got people that are afraid to confront issues in people's lives because they're afraid that it may make somebody mad. That's one thing I don't worry about, man. When something got to be confronted, I don't worry about making somebody mad. I ain't worried about that. The least. I wasn't worried about it in the world. I sure ain't going to be worried about it now that I'm headed to heaven. Amen? If I died in the world, I would have went straight to hell, and I wasn't even scared of that. I definitely ain't scared of going to heaven now. Amen? Yeah. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said. So I'm going to read some notes I put on here. Paul urges believers not to team up with those who are unbelievers. Do we agree on that? Now, you may say, well, Kevin, how are we going to get them saved? Listen. You're going to tell them about Jesus. Most people that are hanging out with unbelievers ain't because they're telling them about Jesus. Let me tell you something. If you got unbelievers around you and you tell them about Jesus, one or two things are going to happen. They're going to get saved or they're going to leave, but it ain't going to stay the same. Just that simple. And if it's staying the same, it's because they are influencing you more than you are influencing them. Guaranteed. No, they're not either. Yeah, they are too. All right. Paul is telling the Corinthians not to have partnerships or relationships with unbelievers. Because why does he tell us that? Because it might weaken or cause them to compromise their commitment, integrity, and standards. Gentlemen, that's why you don't need no girlfriend when you get right out to home. Oh, I need a girlfriend. No, you need some Jesus. A lot of Jesus. The number one thing that I see causes men to fall is a girlfriend. I see. It don't matter. And everybody, well, Pastor Kevin, I'm not like all those other guys. Okay. Okay. I got my foundation strong. Mm-hmm. Where'd you meet her at? Well, she don't want to come to church here, so she's already rebelling against your leadership. Now, I'm not saying that she got to right away. Amen? But that's what I'm saying. Okay, what starts happening? Always watch things like that. Always watch it when a guy gets a girl and he starts following wherever she's going instead of vice versa.
I know people are going to say, Kevin, that's just being a male chauvinist. Nope, you just sit back and watch. Somebody going to lead. Amen? We ain't got that problem in this church because y'all are all here. Got a bunch of strong men in here. Amen? And some strong women. Man, I tell you what, it's going to be a battle. You got the men that are as strong as they are and some of these women that are as strong as they are, Lord Jesus. That's why some folk going to be single a long time. Kevin, you praying for me? No. I ain't going to put nobody in that position. Praying for you to get a husband? No. I ain't going to do that to nobody. This doesn't mean we completely, now listen, this doesn't mean we completely isolate ourselves from people. You got to have this balance according to 1 Corinthians 5, 9, and 10. Paul even urges Christians to stay with their unbelieving spouses. Hey, if you married them and they ain't saved and you are saved, that ain't no reason to get divorced. If you married them and then you get saved and they don't, they ain't no reason to get divorced. Biggest hell I ever went through on earth when I got saved and then me and my wife got back together. My Jesus. You thought it was bad before we got saved. Wait until one of us was saved and the other one wasn't. No, you just seen a couple things. You didn't see it all. Y'all just seen a couple things. Oh, that hurt. We say, yeah. Ain't none of you seen it all. They let people say, I know Kevin. No, you don't. You know the Kevin here. You know the Kevin. Most people that say they know me, they know the Kevin that's standing behind the pulpit. I'll tell you who knows me probably better than anybody in this church. That's these men that I see every day. Because they see me sitting down with them, talking to them. They hear the counsel. They hear it. They see the grace and the mercy that most people think I don't have. That's what they see. Do they not, Scott? Do they not? John's the one that even brings that to my attention. Amen. That is a miracle. It's gone. It says, Paul even urges Christians to stay with their unbelieving spouse. Y'all get back up here. Well, come on. Hey, we don't need no talking in the pulpits. Paul wanted believers to be active in their witness for Christ unbelievers. Anyway, let me skip through here. I want to hurry. I want to read some of the tools that are used in divination. I want you to be aware of some of these things. The spirit of divination uses things like this. Bones. When I was in Haiti and going up, hiking up in the mountains, going to the voodoo tribes up there, when I'd go, they'd have little places set up that had bones and skulls and animal bones and stuff in it where they'd do their little bone shaking and try to cast their spells and all of that stuff. Bones, the insides of animals, the entrails, the guts of animals. Tea leaves. Hey, dude, I know that's big here in America also. Tea leaves. Tarot cards. You can buy those just about anywhere. Those cards, man. I mean, all of this is a spirit of divination. All this is demonic. Listen to me. If you have ever had any part of this, I don't care if you was just playing and you just did it by accident. You need to renounce this. Well, Kevin, I thought I was forgiven of all my sins when I got saved. Renounce it anyway. Amen. If you've never renounced it, you need to renounce this. Come against that spirit. Amen. Look at this. Tarot cards. Palm reading. How many of us ever seen a palm reading when you're going somewhere? All right. Horoscopes, what I've been pounding on. I don't even do the fortune cookies that you get at, I don't eat Chinese food anyway, but I ain't even doing that. They bring one of them things, I'm not going to get that off my table. Set that off my table. Name of Jesus. What does it say? No, get it off my table. Now, the trick of that is to eat the cookie without looking at the little deal. You're like, pull that out, babe. Here, you want this, baby? The what? Enneagram. No, I have not. Do share. And the churches are using it? It's called what? So like a personality test. I just took one of those the other day from my work. We all did. Didn't even think about it. Well, I renounce that in the name of Jesus Christ. I won't take another one. Amen. That's too close. I don't know if it's the same thing or not, but it's close enough. Amen. See how this stuff, you may not even be aware of it. You see what I'm saying? May not even be aware of it. Praise God. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's keep on going here. Ouija boards, crystal balls, occult computer games, charms, magic, levitation, automatic writing, occult literature, rocks, drugs, etc. Okay, all of these things we got to be aware of. And here's one of the deals, man. We got to be aware of this stuff because, listen, here's the deal with Satan. Whether it's me, whether it's y'all, just like we just sitting here talking about, whether it's me, whether it's y'all, whether it's anybody else, here's what we got to recognize. Ignorance does not put you off limits. Does that make sense? Ignorance does not put us off limits. Matter of fact, ignorance is a full-blown scale reason for the enemy. So if the enemy, if you sit there and you're doing something ignorant, he ain't going to be there like, well, he didn't know, so I'm not going to attack him today. No, he loves ignorance. He loves it. He'll take a full-blown, he'll take full-blown advantage of somebody's ignorance. Amen? And exploit it to the hilt. All right? Now let's go on here. So what does God's word say about this? We'll finish up right here, y'all, because I got too much more. I'm going to finish up right here on Jeremiah 27, 9 and 11. Jeremiah 27, 9 and 11. It says, therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets. Now listen to this, okay? I was reading this the other day, and I sent it out. It was just right about the time that I was reading. I was doing some morning studies and stuff for some afternoon studies. And I seen this. I'm like, I need to send this to a few of my friends. So I sent it out. Therefore, hearken not to your prophets. Now God is telling the children of Israel not to listen to their prophets. Not to your diviners or diviners, however you want to say it. Nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters. These enchanters would be like hypnotists. We hadn't talked about that today. If you ever been hypnotized, don't do it. God did not call us to empty our mind out. He called us to renew our mind. Amen? All right? So let's see here. Therefore, your prophets, your enchanters, your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the kings of Babylon. So what is he saying here? He's saying, listen, Israel, bondage to Babylon. And he says, don't listen to your people that are telling you you're not to serve these kings. And this king at that time, I believe, was Nebuchadnezzar. He's saying, don't listen to these people because you know how it is. You know, you get all these people out there and telling you all this good stuff, all this wonderful stuff, everything wonderful, everything's going to be hunky-dory in your life, and you're never going to have any troubles, you're never going to have anything going on. But listen to what God's saying. He's saying, for they prophesy a lie to you to remove you far from your land and that I should drive you out and you should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it. So what is he saying here? He's saying, listen, I know you got all these prophets over here that are telling you need to get out of this land, don't serve the king. But the Lord's saying, don't listen to them. I'm telling you that you need to bow your neck to the yoke of the king of Babylon because here's what the enemy is trying to do. He's saying the enemy, these demon spirits, this spirit of divination, this witchcraft, all right, God had a plan for the children in Babylon. And we know that the word of God in Jeremiah 29:11 tells us what? That he's got good plans for us, a hope and what? A future.
But you got to understand the context of the scripture that that's in, that even when God told them that they were in bondage. All right? But just because they were in bondage doesn't mean that God's plan changed for them. They were in bondage not because God's plan changed, but because of their disobedience to the Word of God. And there's many of us in this room that we get ourselves in traps, not because that was God's plan for our life, but we got there by disobedience to God's Word. But if we recognize it and repent, we can get back to where we were. Why? Because even though our direction may change, God's plans don't. That's why Paul said that when I was called from my mother's womb. When did God call Paul? Not when he got saved, but when from his mother's womb. And he says to be a preacher of the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. Even though Paul grew up and became a murderer and he was killing Christians, even though Paul went a different direction, that did not change the call of God on his life. And you've got to learn to recognize that just because you've messed up, you fouled up, and you screwed up, that don't mean that God's done with you. But what he's telling the children of Israel here is he's saying, listen, don't listen to them false prophets, because God had a plan for them. And he said, if you listen to those false prophets and you don't serve this king and you get out of this land, then you're trying to get away from the very thing that I'm wanting to give you. Y'all see that? And he says, but here's what you got to do. You're going to have to bow your neck to the yoke of that king. And in the land, you're going to remain, and I'm going to give it to you. See, what the enemy was trying to do through something that sounded good was trying to get the children of Israel away from what God wanted to give them by using something that seemed good. And I see it all the time with people that come into church, people that come into this men's home, people that come into the women's home. If they come in and they say, God's got me here, God's got me here. And then after a little bit of time, because they think a better opportunity has come along, they get away from the very place and they never obtain the promised land that God had for them. And then they're back out there roaming and roaming around again. Yes, sometimes it's going to be hard. Yes, sometimes it's going to be tough. Yes, sometimes you're going to have to do things that you don't want to do and that you don't like doing. But your job is to serve God no matter where you're at. I don't care if it's in the deepest trenches of fighting or if it's on the mountaintops. Your job is to serve God and let Him to work out all the details. Because He don't bring you through. He didn't bring the children of Egypt or the children of Israel out of Egypt to leave them in the wilderness. He brought them out of Egypt to take them to the promised land, but they had to go through the wilderness. And for God to take you from where you're at today to where He wants to get you, He's going to have to take you through some stuff, and you got to be willing to endure it. And if you're not willing to endure it, then you're going to give up, and you're going to miss the call of God on your life, and you're never even going to know that you missed it. Pride for so long keeps us from stepping into the will of God. We think we got something. We think we're so special. Rebellion, pride, ignorance to the Word of God keeps us in rebellion for so long. And we look up and here we are 20 years later. Why am I going back to the same drugs? Why do I keep falling back in the same mess? Why do I keep on going back to the same stuff? Why has this been going on? Tony told me 10 years ago I was supposed to be his pastor. He finally got here. He didn't have to wait 10 years. Scott told me how many years ago? How many trips to prison did you have to go back to before you finally said, well, that might be where I'm supposed to be? To where I firmly believe that God puts people in your life, strong leaders in your life, that can God will use in order to make that change. You here now, praise God. Tony said, he ain't gonna leave me beat up like that. I'm here, baby. Amen. You are here. Yeah, everybody else got to deal with it. Is this making sense to y'all? So as I shut down with this, there's so much more here. We may be in this for a little while. I mean, check this out. 2 Kings said they made their sons and their daughters pass through the fire of human sacrifices and used divination to foretell the future and enchantments. And they sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking Him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from His sight. None of the tribes was left except the tribe of Judah. Listen to this. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsel. Listen to this. Let now the astrologers, horoscopes, stargazers, horoscopes, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon you. God says, you're going to go keep on listening to your astrology? You're going to go keep on listening to your palm reader and your little fortune cookies and you all that? And he said, listen, when this calamity comes upon you, don't call on me. Call on them. Go to your horoscope. Go to your horoscope. See if that horoscope can get you out of hell. See if that horoscope. Yeah. Behold, they shall be a stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, no fire to sit before. Micah, and I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Listen to this. But it's for the cowards. Listen. I believe there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians that fall under this category called cowards. And the Bible says they'll have their part in the lake of fire. People hide behind being nice, but what it really is they're a coward. And this is what the Word says about that. But as for the cowards and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sorcerers and idolaters and occultists and all liars, their part will be in the lake that blazes with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let me read it to you out of Revelations over here, out of the King James. Listen here. Now listen. We'll read you something. Listen to this. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Galatians. Let me read one more to you. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife. What do we talk about in a Bible study in the mornings, men? Spirit of what? Spirit of what? We talk about it every morning, don't we? We pray against it every morning. Pray against it every single morning, do we not? Right? Why? Let me tell you why. Because Galatians chapter 5, verse 20 says this right here. Listen to this. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. Remember a while ago when I said drunkenness? If it's a disease, why do people go to hell for it? Because nowhere in the Bible do we see anybody going to hell because they had cancer or epilepsy or anything like that. So how can a Christian call alcoholism a disease when the Bible says that you go to hell for it? Explain that to me. You can't. Drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of thee which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, church, what you and I got to realize is God's got something good for us. And if you can learn to see this message the right way, you may walk out of here tonight and you may say, man, Kevin's message is just so heavy. Church, to me, this is good news. This is God showing me how to identify some stuff in my life and say, hey, this is what's going on. Thank you, Jesus. Power. This is where the power comes from. This is where it comes from. Amen. Y'all receive it tonight? I'm going to let y'all out of here before that spirit of slumber comes on everybody. Amen. Let's stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Come on down here, Tony. We'll pray for you. Anybody else need prayer tonight? Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's gather around here. Tony, man, he's wanting to lay him down. He wants to lay some things down in his life. Y'all can go ahead and cut the live feed off, babe. Thank you. Hallelujah. But we're believing here for Tony, man. He's been struggling, man, and